Blog Talk Radio.
Michael Anthony Ingram, and I bring to you the Power of Poetics, and every week we have an opportunity to talk through the power of poetry about life, living, love, relationships, you name it. Tonight we mourn the lives of those individuals who died in San Bernardino, as we mourn the lives of the individuals who died last week in Colorado. We're mourning a lot of lives, good people. Something is happening. I guess throughout creation, things have happened. But we're mourning these lives, and I want to bring some people on who are on the line already, and so we can begin this journey. Maybe we can talk about these issues. Very first person. Hello, are you there?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good, son. So are you?
Good. There's one more person. Hey, very
okay,
nice
I'm
to...
I'm in transit, so I'm going to mute myself and listen in. My thanks again for bringing this to us.
All right. I was experiencing some difficulty bringing some of the other people in, some technical difficulty. Hopefully I'll call back. And this person did. Let's see if I can do this now. Good
Hello?
Evening. Yes, good
yeah.
evening. How are you?
I'm good.
M. Shea? Yes, I can.
Okay.
All right. Is this M. Shea?
Is this who?
Your name, please.
My name is Celine.
Celine, how are you?
I'm
welcome
good.
To the great. I know I'm a little frazzled, but welcome to the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. We're glad you're here. Are you a member of the DC Poetry Project?
I just joined. So, yes.
Oh, great.
I am.
Great. Are you a poet?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fantastic.
I just published my first poetry book.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. There might be an opportunity for us to feature you on this show as we move into the new year, so let's stay in touch, all right?
That would be great.
All right. Tell me about your work. Hopefully there'll be some other people signing on, and I won't just focus on you, but tell me about your work. And then I'll tell you about this show and who we are as an organization so you have a full feel of what we do.
Okay. My work as far as what? As far as my poetry?
Yes.
Okay, well, my poetry basically spans across various topics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just talk about personal issues, but I talk about, you know, worldly issues. It's also very... spiritual, so it's faith-based poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Takes you on a journey. It's a lot of storytelling that I do in my poetry, where it just takes you on a journey through each topic, and you know the underlying foundation is always God.
Oh wow, very
and
nice.
And how He's able to bring you through whatever situation that you're in.
Well, I agree with that. Let me ask you a question. How did you find the DC Poetry Project? Out of all the poetry groups around, how did you find us?
I found you guys online, actually, through Facebook. I was just looking to find different groups to join, and I found you there first, but the second place that I found you was on Meetup.
Okay. Great. I'd like to welcome you to the organization. Again, my name is Michael. I'm the executive director, so I'd like to welcome you to the DC Poetry Project. We do a lot of great things. I mean, we try to work in the community. We try it in terms of partnership engagement with different groups around the community. We also focus on volunteerism. And finally, we put on great programs around the art and craft of poetry. We have monthly workshops. We have a program called Pogatry, which is the combination of poetry and yoga. And we go to open mics. I mean, we try to do it all, but do it all in a very professional fashion. And we look for good people, and I'm so glad that you're with us.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, I really am.
Yeah, we're really good group to join.
We're great. I'm glad. Like I said, again, I'm a little frazzled tonight, I guess, with all that's happening in the nation and the world. I'm a little thrown off center, but that's okay. That's one of the reasons why poetry is so important, because as I've stated over the course of the last year, and as we know, it provides you with an opportunity to self-express, to move beyond what you're feeling in a way that's potentially not detrimental to your system.
Mm-hmm.
You can write about
it. It's also healing.
It is healing. You don't have to shoot about it. You can write about
no.
it.
Exactly.
You don't have
and
to
it's also
about
very
it.
Expressive. You know, you don't have to get in people's face and talk about certain things. You can just express it through poetry, through the art of writing. And
very
I
much
think,
so.
I think you can get your point across even more so when you write it down than if you were to speak it, because a lot of times you get hung up on words or hung up on emotion, you know? And I think with poetry, yeah, all of that comes into play, but it's better articulated.
Well, let me ask you a question. It's just you and I for right now, and it may be just you and I all night, so get ready. I'm already glad that you're in the group.
A few people did say they were going to join tonight, so maybe they're
okay,
just hung up
great.
The topic.
All right, great. Let me ask you a question, and maybe we can continue this dialogue when others sign on. Some years ago, I heard the statement that words are never innocent. So if we think about poetry, those are words, but they're never innocent. How does that hit you? How does that strike you, that statement?
That words are never innocent?
Yes.
I think because words can have underlining meaning, depending on which word you choose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, I can see why it would not be innocent, because you can use a very simple word, but the way you write that verse can mean so much more than what you're saying.
Very much
does
so.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And that kind of goes back to self-expression when your canvas is through poetry, or poetry is your canvas, putting those words that you view as potentially not innocent on that canvas, as opposed to doing something else with those words in terms of turning those words into life, if that makes sense.
I think it's so important.
I'm going to work on that some more. Words are never innocent. Now, you stated that your work revolves around a number of different issues. On the Power of Poetics, one of our goals is just to be a forum for people to just express. We don't put a label on it. We just want you to have an opportunity to express on whatever topic that you'd like to share. So would you like to start tonight, or would you like me to share something first, just to get yourself situated and settle on the air?
Why don't you share first?
Okay. All right. You put me back. I put you on the spot, then you put me back on the spot.
I'm new to this.
Yeah, you're already a valued member of the organization. But I'd first like to say hello to one of our favorite people who call in every week, Kofi. I know that you're listening on that train back to Vienna. Again, as I say to you every week, we're so glad that you've had an opportunity to just hang in there with us over the course of the last year. I mean, you're a good man, and we're glad you're out there rooting for us. What I'm going to do is read a piece of poetry. I was thinking about reading one of my own, but I think I'll share something that I found in Ayala Van Zant's book, One Day My Soul Just Opened Up.
Okay.
I don't know why this came to mind, but it's called, and I may recite some other things from her book. This one is called Let Me Remember. God is in control. I cannot make anything happen. Thy will, not my will, is done in the perfect way of all times. The divine presence in me cannot deny itself any good thing. Surrender will eliminate fear. Surrender will eliminate anger. I must be willing to do the work to overcome fear.
Hmm.
You know. And again, no. I just turned to a page. I don't know why her work came to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, that was good.
Okay, one of the things that we do on this show, if we make the statement that something is good or nice or incredible, we always talk about why. Why did we feel it was good?
Well,
why did we feel it was incredible?
I feel it was good because, you know, she always talks about doing work, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who go through issues find themselves blaming their circumstances and not looking within as to why things are the way they are in their lives, okay? So where she's talking about, you know, doing the work is basically saying that, you know what, I get it. All of this is happening to me. I've been through all of this, but what role have I played? You know, what have I done to better my situation? Why am I too busy blaming everybody and everything around me? I need to do the work within me. I need to find out why I keep finding myself in these places, why these things keep happening to me, why am I this, why am I that, you know? And I think through that, when you start looking within for answers rather than outside for answers, you find a better way to heal.
I'm in agreement. You do find a better way to heal if you have or take the opportunity to truly dig deep inside of who you are, which is
exactly.
Not an easy proposition. It's not easy to do that.
No,
it's not
like
easy.
Looking in the mirror. Nobody wants to see. You never really see what you don't really see the true self when you look in the mirror. Sometimes, you know?
You don't, because
you see what you want to see. But what
very
what
much
we're
so.
Saying is strip everything, strip it all. What do you see?
You know, it's funny. This morning I said, as I was preparing for work, I'm tired of looking in the mirror. I'd never thought about that before. But after 52 years, well, maybe 48 years, I'm tired of looking in the mirror. Because there are some days I like what I see, then there are
mm-hmm.
other days that I don't. But it is still me, the good, bad, and indifferent of who I am.
All the colors.
All the colors. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read one more that kind of talks about this theme. And then as you're getting ready, this one is in my book. It's called Shelling Beans, the name of the book. But this one is called To Live a Life, and I recited it maybe last year. To live a life, and less than a lifetime takes less than a lifetime to live. To live a life, and less than a lifetime takes less than a lifetime to live. I should know. You see, I became a man long before with the master's plan. As a child, I was up and down, inside and out, round and about. Sometimes I just wanted to throw my head back and shout and say, stop the world, Lord, and let me be. Why can't I, like other children, age naturally, yet my childhood was snatched in what seemed to be the blink of an eye? Or was it due to that psychological bruise that still lingers on my thigh? I can't remember. Did it occur in late May or early December? All I know is that my childhood is gone, and I wanted God to tell me what went wrong, because I lived a life and less than a lifetime, and it took me less than a lifetime to live. What about you, good people? I heard that you too had lived a life in less than a lifetime, and that it took you less than a lifetime to live. Rumor has it that you wanted to stay a child. You wanted to rest there for a while, yet I know that you too have been up and down, inside and out, round and about. Sometimes I've watched you, and it looked like you wanted to throw your head back and shout and say, please, Lord, why didn't you just let me be? Why didn't you allow me, like other children, to age peacefully, yet like me, your childhood was snatched. And what seemed to be the drop of a hat, or maybe it was due to that emotional scar that I see still festering in the middle of your back, I know you don't remember. Did it occur in late May or early September? All you know is that your childhood is gone and you wanted God to tell you what went wrong because you lived a life in less than a lifetime, and it took you less than a lifetime to live. It took you less than a lifetime to live.
Wow.
One of the things that we also do, I also ask people, what inspired you to write that piece of poetry? So I guess maybe I'll ask myself that question. Michael, what inspired you to write that piece of poetry?
Yes.
I guess feeling situations where I'd lived a life in less than a lifetime, and people can, with poetry, interpret that any way that they will. I don't really think it was anything, quote, that negative, but just growing up a black man in America, trying to figure that out. You know, just growing up a male in America, trying to figure that out. So racism, I mean, you name it. You name it, the whole nine yards. And you can feel that you've gone through life, and then you're old. Then you're old, and sometimes I know that young kids are taking care of their siblings who are younger than they are. And as I've had a chance to travel the country and talk to people, I've heard that many times, that, hey, I had to take care of my brother and sister. I never had a chance to be old, excuse me, young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always ask the question, Celine, how old do you feel? Say, as a person that's like 17, how old do you feel?
Yeah.
And they make these statements, I sometimes feel like I'm 53 or 60.
Because of the life they lived.
Because of the life they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done here. One of the reasons that I turned that, flipped that poem around in terms of asking about someone in the audience or someone who's listening, is that I want to be able to build empathy in the situation. No, you don't know my story. But when you listen to the feelings that go along with my story, that'll bring us together in terms of empathy. And I mention that almost every week on this show, that how powerful empathy is in terms of building relationships, how powerful empathy can be through a person using poetry to build that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right,
that was
great.
That was real deep, though. That was real deep. I can
Thank
feel
you.
Your struggle
that.
Through that poetry, that poem.
Yeah.
Right? That's beautiful.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Celine.
Okay. I've gone back and forth trying to figure out what to display. With what's happening in the world right now, but I don't know if we want to focus on that. There's so many other bigger issues.
Whatever you like to focus on, whichever way you led, just share it.
Okay, so this poem is called Cancer. And I know you're going to ask me this question later, so could I answer it now before I read the poem?
Yes, please.
The motivation behind this poem is not from a personal experience, but it's just from the fact that this disease is claiming so many lives. And you know, your next-door neighbor can have cancer. Your child can have cancer. It's becoming like an epidemic, it feels. And I don't know if it's because it's being glorified through the media or through, you know, social media, all the media outlets, or is it really an epidemic? So I was moved to write this poem because there was a guy at work who had been married for 3 years, and him and his wife, after they got married, he found out that she had cancer. She went into remission. She had a son, 2 years later. And within 9 months after his birth, she's rushed to the hospital and she never makes it home. And I was just so moved by his story because I keep thinking, this is a young couple that just started their lives, you know, and now this child has to grow without a mother. And this husband, this new husband, has to go without a wife. But he's not the only one with this story. There's so many other people whose lives are claimed by this disease. So the poem is called Cancer. Okay. Like a thief in the night, you come into our lives. One minute we are able, the next we are condemned. Your methods are not restricted. Your victims not selective. You are merciless and forbidding, callous and bold. You take no prisoners, yet you leave us imprisoned. You attack with no sympathy. You leave lives in shambles, hearts forever shattered, words never articulated, families forever broken. You are our adversary, yet never motivated. You leave us speechless, but screaming till the end. Screams of why, screams of help, but our voices are just memories left behind. The essence of those lost are left comforting the living. Those that have met you will live to remember you. Your name is unspoken, but whispered in the lives you have claimed. Cancer.
Would you do me a favor and read it again for me?
Okay. All right.
And speak up just a little louder. Just a little louder, all right?
All right.
All right. Right. It's a beautiful piece. And I want to make sure I'm able to savor, and I want our audience around the world that we can savor in the words.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Like a thief in the night, you come into our lives. 1 minute we are able, the next we are condemned. Your methods are not restricted. Your victims are not selective. You are merciless and forbidden, callous and bold. You take no prisoners, yet you leave us imprisoned. You attack with no sympathy. You leave lives in shambles, hearts forever shattered, words never articulated, families forever broken. You are our adversary, yet never motivated. You leave us speechless, but screaming till the end, screams of why, screams of help. I'm lost. But our voices are just memories left behind. The essence of those lost are left comforting the living. Those that have met you will live to remember you. Your name is unspoken, but whispered in the lives you have claimed. Cancer.
You know, one of the lines that stood out to me was, you take no prisoners, but you leave us in prison.
In prison. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many lines that just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, we all know somebody.
We all know someone. We all know someone.
It's such a moving song for me.
Right, is that in your book? What is the title of your book?
The title of my book is called Life Poetry.
Life Poetry?
Life Poetry.
Is it available on Amazon.com?
It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, BooksAMillions.com, Goodreads.
All right. How much is it?
It's $15.
All right. Well,
and it's
you
also
need to know
it. On my webpage.
All right. And what is your website?
www.cmkrishak.com. .com. That's
spell
that for me. CMKRISHACK.
Okay. .com. All right. I will be in touch with you in terms of featuring you on the air. I mean, we always feature talent. And in early 2016, I want you to look for me to ring you, to send you an email about setting something up if you feel comfortable with that.
Of course I do. That's wonderful.
All right.
Would you like me to do another piece?
Yes, of course. I want you hanging in with me as long as you can. I mean, stay right there, though. We're going to take a little commercial break. Our breaks are very, very short. I'd like to bring another person in who's been waiting for a little while here. She's one of our favorite people, too. She's calling from Maine, from the state of Maine. Just take a little break. We'll be right back. This is the DC Poetry Project's Open Mic Call-In Show. We are here. We're listening. Maybe we won't be taking a little break, experiencing some technical problems. Hold on. Everybody out there in America and around the world, just kind of talk amongst yourselves until this works. Here we go. As you see, Celine, our breaks are very short, extremely short. I'd like to bring someone in. Her name is Valerie, Valerie Beers, and she was featured on our show last year. Her book is titled Details, dot, dot, dot. And I'd like to bring Valerie on. Hello. Oh, that's Kofi. Sorry, Kofi. Hello, are you there?
Neither.
Is anyone
Valerie.
There?
I'm
no,
here.
Valerie?
Can you hear me?
Yes, something has happened. Valerie, I'm attempting to bring you on. Okay. Okay, here we go.
Hello.
Valerie?
Now, do
you
hear
there?
Me, Michael? Hello, this is Valerie.
Hello, mm-hmm. Valerie. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine. And I'm looking
good.
Up Life's Poetry on Amazon right now.
Well,
oh,
introduce yourself
hi.
To Celine.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing? That was a
good.
Wonderful piece. Very powerful. And to echo what you said, Michael, lots mm-hmm. of lines stood out to me.
Like which
thank
ones?
You,
it comes to mind?
The same ones that you liked are, you know, in prison dust, but we're still in prison. Or you know, it seems like
you didn't
like
take
a,
prisoners. Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, that's
yeah.
that you leave us in prison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you leave us in prison.
Good stuff. And, you know, everybody knows somebody. So you're right about that. Yeah.
Wow.
And I heard, yeah, and I heard that your inspiration was like a woman who had cancer, and then she got married. And I'm sorry if I'm butchering this. I only heard a little bit of it, but like, wow.
Yeah, her story was just it was devastating, and I didn't even know her. It was
right.
You know.
Yeah, I
all I could think about was that little boy.
Yes.
Well, Valerie, you're here with us tonight, and we're, again, always glad to have you with us. Kofi's out there on his way home to Vienna, and we'd like to say hello again to all the people who joined us from places around the world. And, Celine, we do have people who follow us from around the world. If you'd like to call in, the number is 646-716-8754. This is the Power of Poetics. If you'd like to tweet us at DC Poetry. And Valerie, do you have any poems to share?
I have some poems by Erica Jong.
Okay.
Because I'm all about Erica Jong tonight.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Well, first of all, who is Erica Jong so people know?
Erica Jong. Have you heard of the book Fear of Flying?
Yes.
It came out in the 70s.
I've read
mm-hmm.
that book.
Yes, that is the author. Everyone knows her by Fear of Flying. She really wants people to know she started out as a poet first.
Wow.
And I have four books of her poetry in front of me, including her first, second, and third one.
Well, let me ask this question before you start. Okay, what was it or is it about her poetry that stands out to you?
The things that stand out to me is she writes, let's see, I made some notes here. She writes
okay.
about ordinary things. I mean, she's got a book. It's called Ordinary Miracles. And that's about, you know, childbirth and love and things like that. Just, you know, written in a way that, you know, it's not boring, it's not cliche, it's the same thing, but you don't know it's the same thing until you think about it.
Right. Well, all right, Valerie, you're on.
Okay. This is one of my favorite pieces by Erica Jong. It is called, and Alcestis was a character in Greek mythology, but I don't know what character Alcestis was, but this is called Alcestis on the Poetry Circuit by Erica Jong. The best slave does not need to be beaten. She she beats herself, not with a leather whip or with sticks or twigs, not with a blackjack or a billy club, but with the fine whip of her own tongue and the subtle beating of her mind against her mind. For who can hate her half so well as she hates herself? And who can match the finesse of her self-abuse? Years of training are required for this. 20 years of subtle self-indulgence, self-denial, until the subject thinks herself a queen and yet a beggar, both at the same time. She must doubt herself in everything but love. She must choose passionate and badly, like a master, like a dog without a master. She must feel lost. She must veil herself in paint and always wear tight shoes. She must remember her bondage. And I have completely lost the page. So, yes, she must never go out of the house unless veiled in paint. She must wear tight shoes so she always remembers her bondage. She must never forget she is rooted in the ground. Though she is quick to learn and admittedly clever, her natural doubt of herself should make her so weak that she dabbles brilliantly in half a dozen talents and thus embellishes, but does not change our lives. If she is an artist and comes close to genius, the very fact of her gift should cause her such pain that she will take her own life rather than best us. And after she dies, we will cry and make her a saint.
What is the title of that piece again?
Oh, yeah, what's the title?
The title of that is called Alcestis on the Poetry Circuit. And it says, In Memoriam for, and there's a lot of names here that I can't pronounce.
Okay.
In Memoriam, Marina, Setvea, Anna Wickham, Sylvia Plath, Shakespeare's sister, etc., etc.
All right.
So it's written for all these people. All these women.
Wow.
Huh.
You know, that's always my favorite line to say, wow, when I don't know what else to say, especially when I'm bowled over by work and I'm bowled over by every piece and whatever way it is. There's always some nuance in it that strikes me. I think in that particular piece, it was the very first line that you don't need to beat a slave. Would you read that one for me again?
Of course. Of course, I love this poem.
Mm-hmm.
The best slave does not need to be beaten. She beats herself, not with a leather whip or with sticks or twigs, fine whip of her own tongue, and the subtle beating of her mind against her mind.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, that really is deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That really is deep because, as I was sharing with someone this past weekend, that if you're dealing with situations around your mind, let's say you're living with mental illness in whatever way, shape, or form that takes,
mm-hmm.
if your mind, and this may sound whatever, this is probably a metaphor, if your mind, quote, does not, quote, like you or love you, to me it can be worse than an external force, quote, beating you. And I know people may think, well, what is that? Because if you're fighting your mind day and night, that never leaves you.
That's
you
true.
You can't run away from that. You can't hide
your
from your mind.
Your thoughts become your reality. Your thoughts become
it does.
Your reality.
Yes,
yeah.
It does. I mean,
and the bottom line of this poem, why I love it, is it talks about you are your own worst enemy, and I'm my own worst enemy. Everyone is their own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true. I mean, do you think we're socialized to be our own worst enemies? Or that's just something that we pick up along the way? No, I guess that is being socialized.
Maybe. Society definitely contributes to it. You should look a certain way. You should have a certain type of job. You should, you should, you should. Then
Celine,
you don't have
those
things, and then you feel bad.
What do you think, Celine?
I agree. I mean, you create your own reality, and that makes so much sense. That's, I love this poem. There's so many verses on there that I love that she spoke about. You know, the, I like the first lines that you were talking about where she says that, you know, the rippling of her tongue, of her own tongue, and the beating of her mind, you know. So it's what she says about herself and what she thinks about herself becomes a reality. And even though there's an open line where she says, you know, she's a queen, yet a beggar, you know. So, yeah, she might feel great about herself sometimes, but she's like this, like she needs validation from people, you know, to feel a certain way and to be a certain way. And that is so true in society these days. I agree with everything that both of you guys said. You know, there's the TV, the media, the people, you know, the magazines. Everybody's trying to tell you what you should be and what you shouldn't be. And we're too busy feeding our minds with such negative stuff, you know. I heard a quote, a really good quote about how you should feed, you shouldn't, the garbage in, garbage out. You shouldn't feed yourself garbage. So, like, coming home, watching the news, you know, watching these shows that just make you feel worse about yourself, that's garbage. You know, you should be feeding your mind with things that help motivate you. You know, listen to some inspirational music, some inspirational CDs. You know, read a good book that motivates you and makes you feel good about yourself, reminds you that you are the queen or king that you're meant to be. You know, we all come from a very strong, you know, spiritual bloodline. Let's start living like we're these, like let's start living like the people that we're supposed to live, and stop letting society dictate who we are. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. 100% it makes
sense.
That was beautiful. I mean, extremely well stated that we're feeding ourselves garbage. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're feeding ourselves garbage. Everything that you listen to, from the music that you listen to what you read, you know, to the books that you read, to what you watch on TV, that's all garbage. It's all garbage. Not all, but a lot of it is.
Yes, I understand.
You know?
Yeah.
I understand. Wow.
So just start turning some of that stuff off. Control what you take in. You know, if there's gossip around you, don't feed yourself and don't let yourself, you know, take that in. Move away from that. Find something positive. If you have a negative friend who's always negative, well, you know what? That friend is probably not supposed to be in your life. Move on. Go to the next. You know, find somebody that motivates you. There's another saying that I love that I had heard once that said, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow,
I'm
gonna
write
that
down. I need to write that down. Say it one more time, please, Lee. Boy, I'm glad you're on there joining us. I mean, this is great. You've got to come back. Everybody says they're going to come back, but they never come back. So I think we scare them away, Valerie. Okay, please, say that again.
Go where you are celebrated, not where you're tolerated. And that's a great motto to live by, because that applies to just about everything.
Yes, it does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't put yourself in situations that you have no business being in, because, in essence, you can also flip it around. Don't tolerate stuff, you know? Don't accept negative things.
Wow. Well, look, we're going to stop right there on that note. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is the DC Poetry Project Open Mic Calling Show. We still have time for people to call in. I mean, honestly, whether it's 2 or 3 or 1,000, I think it's always an incredible show, and I feel really fortunate to have an opportunity to be a part of it every week or every other week, however we do it. I always learn something. I always do, and we'll be right back. And we'll be right back. And we will be right back. We are back. I don't know. I don't know. It's just some technical difficulties, but that's okay. You're still rolling right along.
That's
just found this
in your life.
That's life. That's life. We've got to roll right along.
Okay.
Life happens. This is a piece, and I don't know. I like this. It's by a poet. Her name is Maxine Chernoff, and this was written in 1990, and it's called How Lies Grow. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The first time I lied to my baby, I told him that it was his face on the baby food jar. The second time I lied to my baby, I told him that he was the best baby in the world, that I hoped he would never leave me. Of course, I want him to leave me someday. I don't want him to become one of those fat shadows who live in their mother's houses watching game shows all day. The third time I lied to my baby, I said, "Isn't she nice?" of the woman who caressed him in the carriage. She was old and ugly and had a disease. The fourth time I lied to my baby, I told him the truth. I told him how he'd have to leave me someday or risk becoming a man in a bow tie who eats macaroni on Fridays. I told him that it was best, but then I thought, I want him to live with me forever. Someday he'll leave me. Then what will I do? The end.
What did you say it was? I really like that.
What did you ask?
Who did you say that was?
It's called How Lies Grow. It's by Maxine Chernoff. Right.
Hmm.
1990. Anything stand out?
The first time I lied to my baby.
Mm-hmm.
I can only relate to that myself because I have a child, so it's like, yeah, I've told those lies. But, you know,
right.
I secretly want her to, I'm going to shove her in a closet, and she's going to stay nine for her whole life, and she's never going to leave.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. If we look at it from a metaphorical perspective, the first time I lied to life, or the first time life lied to me. That would be a great prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, the first time, okay, everybody in the world, if you're hearing this, the first time I lied to life or the first time life lied to me. You know, we have another caller, and I'm going to bring this person in. The area code is 347. Hopefully this works this time. Area code 347, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. And yourself?
I'm good. I can't complain.
All right, and your name is?
My name is Rome.
Rome, R-O-M-E?
Yeah, I'm on the Skype. Can you see me?
No, I don't have Skype set up.
All right, so I'll close that out.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to the D.C. Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. How did you find out about us?
I was roaming.
You were roaming?
I love it.
All right, and you roam right in into the DC Poetry Project. Well, do you have any poetry that you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me all right? I want to make sure you can hear me clear.
Oh, it sounds fantastic to me. Let me ask you one question. What type of poetry do you write?
Listen, I also like to rap. So, you know, poetry's rap's one of the same. What type of poetry I write? I mean, what else is there but expressing yourself, your emotions, your perspective of the world you see inside you, you know?
Yeah.
What else is there other than that?
Well, I mean, that's what we've been talking about for the last, to be quite honest, for the last year. What else is there but that?
In terms of having an opportunity
to express yourself.
Styles are different, but That's what art is for, you know? We expect to see different, but at the end result, we all the same. That's the purpose of it, so.
All right. Well, hey, share something with us, Rome. We're ready.
All right. I got a piece here called Some Real Shit. That's what the piece is called. I sit and I think, turn the lights down to a dim shimmer, scribble in ink, expressions I felt without the need to feel sicker. When I'm in doubt, on my knees, the light gets dimmer. Metaphors that I speak, feel what I feel, it only gets realer. Stuck in this competition, facing a mockery, mocking my ambition. No nigga is stopping me, stop it, I can't envision. A picture that's honest, no gimmicks, just a flick in my poverty. Kid, listen, don't flicker or blink, you'll miss it. Truth in an instant, just run with it. Forever I reason doubt, these people doubt to me, still bicker. I cannot be defeated if I never competed. Just filled out with the blanks missing. Thanks, prison, made me appreciate life. Now you talk of taking me out, living? My essence is pure. There'll be no talk that the rumors have outlived them. Look in my eyes now. See what I see. Get in my life trials. Can't take it. It's scorching. My chick won't get an abortion, so there's too many times now. She wants to lie down. I want to cry now. But she don't feel how I'm needing the help. You're stuck blinking. I'm stuck thinking. How do I raise child? I'm still raising myself. Questions. Too caught in this moment, this rap's my confession. Lessons I didn't quite learn, now I've been burned regretting. All I've gained is turned away, all I've earned now is stresses. Out of the cage, but just outside every day feels like a sentence. Not to mention, I'm stuck here between right and wrong, stuck here just writing songs. I can't keep this going on, my motor's wrong, slow the pace, hold it, wait. Curious mind speaking, I look to my side, my eyes leaking. Trying not to cry speaking, cause I ain't told my moms. This predicament's too risky. And once you pimp a chick, every other chick just seems shifty. But I'm trying to change, I'm trying to cleanse, but this bullshit seems to stick with me. Those stories, not just stories, it takes a part of this shit in me. So get with it. Who's this creative? None. It has to be how this kid's living. Listen, it can't be compared. It's too real in its own route. My passions is way deeper than whatever punchline comes out of your boy's mouth. Clouds in this expedition. Music bumping loud in this expedition. Windows rolled up. Getting high off the car emissions. God without God, I found what was partly missing. Where's my guardians? Too late. I'm out of that stage of living. No type of rules now. I'm in my own mind state. I put up too much for risking. I'm playing the cards now, but no one told me the house was winning. Catch me off guard, how? Take me apart from the elements I'm used to. I'll never get back in that state of mind I need to be. It's evident. Murder in first degree, I speak in the first person. Who murdered this person? Me. No evidence. So before you get ahead of yourself into a place that you've never been, just remember this. One hotline, not hard to forget. My realness is a remembrance. Inside of all that seem a cause to remember sick. To dumb it down for who's lost, cause I'm on a level that you'll never get. You can say I'm on my job plus the benefits, some real shit. And peace.
Rome, you a bad
love
boy.
The energy.
Rome. You bad, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we delve into the piece, because we need to talk about it, I want to introduce you to the other people on the line. We've got a small group tonight. Celine, she's on the line, as well as Valerie. So introduce yourselves.
Hi, Rome.
Hello, I'm Valerie. Sorry.
Hello.
That was very good.
What was good about it, Celine? What was good about it?
Well, I wrote a couple of things down. Okay, I like the line, on my knees, life gets dimmer. What were you going through? I mean, what were you feeling when you wrote that line? Like, what was the thought behind that?
Metaphors like that are very, they're very relative, because we've all been in a time where we believe, you know, I mean, even the worst person knows better. You know, there are such things as, like, psychopaths and people that just can't control themselves. But even the worst of the worst, we know better. We all come from life. And even when you follow a standard, there's a moral to it. But even in times that are daunting, you start to feel like, is it really what you believe? Is it really something better? You know, you face times where it's hard. So that's what I mean is... you know, I know better, but in times it feels like even when I'm wanting the help or needing the help, it just feels like I'm not getting it. It's not enough.
Yeah.
Whether it be me or whether it be the people around me,
mm-hmm.
who knows, that's for speculation. But it's just how we all feel those moments.
well, what I got from that line is like, you know, like, you know, yeah, you're going through this, all this turmoil around you, right? But when you're on your knees, all of a sudden, none of that matters. It's like, it's that moment of realness where everything just comes crashing down. And you see reality for that 1 second, you know? And then you get back into that, turmoil. So it's almost like being in the eye of the storm. You got the storm going around you, and every so often you'll get in the middle of it where it's just calm and peace. And that to me was like, on my knees, life gets dimmer.
Wow.
You know, now I'm seeing the reality of it all.
Well, because when you're on your knees praying to God, when you're on your knees asking for whatever help you ask for, that choice becomes real of what you make. I mean, when you're on your feet, it's more yourself. But when you ask anybody for help, God and whoever you look towards to help, that becomes, for me, it gets dimmer, because in that motion, in that instance, it's more than just you in control. You're allowing that. So that's why it can get dimmer. And I guess I'm looking more towards the negative in it to go towards what I'm writing. That it gets dimmer in those moments when you ask for help. Because guess what? Someone can say no.
That is true. And
you
that's
might
when...
no. So when you're going through the hardest of times, when you're on your feet making those choices, it's okay. You can deal with it. But when you have to go to someone and ask for help, those times get darker because they can say no.
I mean that's a great statement. They can say no. And for me, as I've learned throughout the course of my life, that if they say no, then I'll go to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not the only one that's out there. And that's easier said than done.
Exactly.
But I'll try to go to somebody else, you know. Well, let me ask this question, and it's not so much a question. What I liked about your piece was that it started off slow, but it kind of reached a crescendo at the end. It was almost like going from the bottom just up. You know, up and up and up and up, as you had that chance to, as I call it, metaphorically scream and get that gunk out of your system. I mean, that was powerful to me. Powerful.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you write pieces that deserve an incline, you know? You write pieces, you kind of, even if it ends not well, you want a piece that in some moments, it's a battle. It represents it. And in that story, it represents a struggle, an old person's struggle. So there's an incline. And everything else is just, you know, I like to relate to people. I like to keep it true to self. And I want it to be like, it's not like, well, I don't live through that. Because regardless of where you're from or what you do, listen, no matter, as a writer, your job is keeping it real. And emotions. Regardless, if I'm from the ghetto, you're from the suburbs, it might be a different circumstance, but the emotions will always be the same. Psychologically, that feeling will always be the same. it has to be. That's life, all people. I mean, I'm not a dog, you're not a cat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
so
true.
I mean, Valerie, any comment?
It is very true that the feelings are the same. That is so true. That is very, wow.
Yeah, it becomes circumstance, you know. Someone, I can spit about, you know, I'm black, I live in the ghetto, you know, it's crackheads and all of that. That has nothing to do with anything. The emotions I feel in those instances and moments of life I go through could be very relatable to someone that lives in the suburbs, because even with their parent, those emotions could build up the same, of just feeling without anything, without anyone, feeling lost. It's all the same. Feelings, when it boils down to the truth, everything is relatable.
No, I mean, Selena had this conversation at the beginning of the show. See, to me, that's empathy. Because you're right. We may have different life experiences. But when you focus on the feelings that go along with your story, that's where that universal commonality comes in terms of our feelings. I've been preaching this for 30 years, the importance of empathy, regardless of your circumstances. It's the feelings that I can relate to. I don't know you, but when I listen to you, I can understand your feelings.
Yeah, you just you relate it to your own circumstance. You know what I'm saying?
Very much so.
It's hard to get people to see it on the positive note. So you have to let them realize the negative is what it does when you don't realize that is a segregation to make you feel like it's different. And when you feel in those type of ways, when you're down like that, that segregation only makes it worse to actually think that someone is different from you because of the circumstance rather than the feeling.
Wow.
You know? Because that's what segregates it. But when you get the people on a one-on-one, they get to realize, oh, wow, I go through the same shit, different circumstances, but damn, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, that's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, hey, I like that. Well, we're going to come right back. We've got about 5 minutes left, and we're going to come right back. We're going to come right back. I hope we're going to come right back. I'm having some technical difficulties here, but we're going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Okay, we are back. Valerie, would you like to share?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Well, let's see what I got. I'm going to do another Erica Jong poem.
All right.
Because it's an Erica Jong poem night. But I love it. This is called The Poet Fears Failure. The poet fears failure, and so she says, hold on, pen. What if the critics hate me? And with that question, she blots out more lines than any critic could. The critic is only doing his job, keeping the poet lonely. He barks like a dog at the door when the master comes home. It's in his doggy nature. If he didn't know the poet for the boss, he wouldn't bark so loud. And the poet? It's in her nature to fear failure, but not to let that fear blot out her lines. The end.
Not to let that fear blot out her lines.
That's right. It's okay to be afraid. Just don't let it keep you from doing what you want.
Well, if you think about it tonight and throughout what we do as poets and spoken word artists, we're not allowing that fear to blot out our lives, our lines. Think about that. Because whether you share it with someone or not, you're overcoming some sort of fear by writing in general. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
Yeah.
I think it's good. Is this a poet by who? Poem by who?
Erica Jong, J-O-N-G.
I never heard. I like it. I like it. I like it. For me, it's kind of abstract for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear poems like this,
yeah,
it feels almost like how to explain it. Someone that has a general idea of a feeling, but hasn't quite gone through it themselves.
Mm. Wow.
So it makes it abstract. It makes it kind of like you feel it, you understand it, but it could have hit harder.
Yeah. And it's not so literal. It's not so literal either. I know that she's talking about a poet, you know, writing poems and, you know, getting lost in translation.
Yeah,
but it's not, I don't think it's that literal.
Yeah,
right?
These general ideas, you know, artists have, you know, there's great artists in the world that kind of, everyone kind of knows the idea of wrong and right and whatnot, but passions and things, you get to hear different things from different people and you hear it in different ways. It could be the same poem, it could be the same thing, but you would hear it differently from certain people. But even with artists that paint, I mean, they have these general concepts and ideas that could come out beautifully, mastermindfully, but they really have no real connection. That's what makes it seem abstract for me.
Well, you know, good people, we're going to have to end on that note. I want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. Rome, Celine, Valerie, to the power of poetry. I want you guys to come back. Please come back. because we have good discussions on this show, and we got good people around us, and I want to hear your voices, and the world wants to hear your voices. So thank you so much, and good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Right. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Shot. visions